Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading your San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, January 23rd, 2022. I'll begin with the most recently published articles. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for January 2022. Tom Green County, as of January 27th, City of San Angelo. 39,269 positive cases reported. 260 new positive tests. Deaths, 499. 317 from Tom Green County and 182 from other counties. 86 currently hospitalized. 7,446 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 Vaccine Tracker by Diane Pentelio. Some 47% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of January 25th, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. They took 20 years of his life. San Angelo Veterans Medals and Memorabilia Stolen by Elena Edgen, published January 27th. A break-in has left a San Angelo Air Force veteran of 20 years heartbroken after decades of medals and memories were stolen from his home on Tuesday, January 25th. Clayton LaRue, a Goodfellow Air Force Base Master Sergeant who retired in 2009, posted an open letter to the intruder on Facebook. In the letter, he mentioned the tools were easily replaceable, but the military gear you stole from me is much more significant. It can never be truly replaced. That gear included uniforms and memorabilia from his stations across the U.S., Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, South Korea, and Afghanistan. You took everything I had hauled around for month after month over there while I served my country, each and every step filled with sweat and pain, Clayton stated in the letter. I think the nail in the coffin was stealing my medals. You stole all of my military memorabilia when it meant literally nothing to you, and it meant the world to me. The items included 3 United States Air Force bags, 10 to 12 pairs of green and black socks, some regular, but most for extreme cold weather, 9 desert combat uniforms, 3 battle dress uniforms in green and black camouflage, 3 Army combat uniforms worn in Afghanistan, numerous waterproof steel-toe boots in black and brown, mix of gloves, belts, buckles, hats, shirts, and rain gear, DeWalt tool bag, Lowe's toolbox with mix of tools. The medals included Meritorious Service Medal, Commendation Medal, Air Force Achievement Medal, Army Achievement Medal, Afghanistan Campaign Medal, National Defense Service Medal, Longevity Medal, Good Conduct Medal, Outstanding Unit Medal. You stole 20 years of my life right out of my garage, he stated. You didn't spend year after year doing what is right, what is honorable, and what is noble while defending your country. Instead, you spent 2 to 3 minutes in my garage stealing and ripping away some of the proudest moments of my life. Selena LaRue, Clayton's sister, mentioned the impact the theft had on her brother. He spent half his life in the military. It is so important to him and who he is, she said. He's my hero, and seeing him like this, I want to fix this. I want him to get his stuff back. It's not fair what happened to him. They took 20 years of his life. The LaRue family asked that anyone who sees these items contact San Angelo Police Department. If anyone knows anything, sees anything, please contact the local police, Selena said. These items mean the world to him and nothing to the thief. People can contact the police at 325-657-4315. Railway Museum of San Angelo in need of volunteer tour guides, from staff reports published January 26th. The Railway Museum of San Angelo is looking for volunteer living history tour guides. The museum is now open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so there are more opportunities to lead people as they step back in time. Training sessions are Friday, January 28th at either 2 or 7 p.m. at 703 South Chadron. Volunteers can pick the dates they work, as often or as infrequent as they like. For more information, email info.sanangelorailway@gmail.com. Ballinger man facing possible death penalty after new charge filed in San Angelo homicide, by Elena Edgen, published January 26th. A Ballinger man charged in a San Angelo 2021 homicide could face the death penalty in connection to the shooting death of Daniel Chandler, according to an indictment released Wednesday, January 26th. An indictment filed January 6th charged Cody Salazar with capital murder, enhanced to habitual offender status. It stated he caused Chandler's death by shooting him with a firearm in the course of committing or attempting robbery. The enhancement comes from Salazar's prior convictions in 2019 for accident involving injury and 2013 for engaging in organized criminal activity. A court date has been tentatively scheduled for February, according to online court records. What led to Daniel Chandler's death? About 1:16 a.m., June 28, 2021, police arrived to a shooting at Inn of the Conchos, 2021 North Bryant Boulevard. In one of the rooms, officers found Chandler lying on the floor with gunshot wounds to his chest and abdomen. His shirt was soaked in blood, and numerous used cartridge cases were on the floor, according to court documents. Police interviewed several witnesses, one of whom was a woman who rented the room for the night. She said she told Salazar she would be staying there, and he and Garcia came by. Another man and a woman also arrived at the room, records state. The women told officers Salazar told everyone to leave the room because he had some business he had to take care of. The other man said he had left the room to smoke before he heard muffled gunshots, according to the arrest affidavit. Investigators believe after the two women and man left the room, Chandler, a woman who identified herself as his girlfriend to police, and another man entered the room. The woman told officers they had gone to the motel to purchase some marijuana, according to court documents. The man who entered the room with Chandler and the woman told officers the woman had contacted him asking to purchase an amount of narcotics. He used social media to contact another woman to arrange a transaction. When they entered the motel room, Joshua Garcia closed the door and pulled out a gun. He told them to give him all their money in bags, records state. Salazar also pulled out a gun, and Chandler attempted to draw a gun as well and was shot, according to the woman. Garcia then grabbed the woman's bags and the man's money and narcotics, then fled with Salazar. The woman tried to stop the bleeding, then ran to the office to call for emergency assistance, according to the affidavit. Teen wanted in Lubbock shooting, San Angelo homicide found. Arrests followed. The woman who was contacted about arranging a deal told officers she drove Salazar to another woman's residence. The resident told officers Garcia, who was known as the Kid or Jay, had been living at her residence for 3 months, according to an arrest affidavit. At the residence, Salazar said he had to get some money from someone who owed him. He asked the resident if he could use her pickup, and she didn't want him to, so Garcia offered to drive the pickup, records state. The two left, and after the shooting, Garcia told the resident they went to a motel room and someone died, according to court documents. At the time of the shooting, Garcia was wanted by Lubbock police. According to Lubbock court documents, on January 18, 2021, Lubbock police arrived to a vehicle burglary call, which became a chase on 45th Street. Garcia was a passenger in the vehicle and shot at pursuing officers. No officers were injured, but a patrol car was disabled. The vehicle with Garcia and an unknown driver was found abandoned on 36th Street, according to court documents. Following the investigation, law enforcement found Salazar at the Shopping Basket, 610 Hutchins Avenue, in Ballinger on July 5th. They subsequently charged him with murder, in addition to going off bond for credit or debit card abuse, possession of marijuana, and evading arrest detention. On July 12, 2021, Garcia was charged on suspicion of murder after being arrested in Lubbock in connection to shooting at officers. California man arrested in Tom Green County after traffic stop reveals human smuggling. By Elena Edgen, published January 26th. A California man has been arrested after a traffic stop in Tom Green County ended with a call to Border Patrol, according to an arrest affidavit. About 3 p.m., Saturday, January 22nd, a Texas Department of Public Safety official stopped a vehicle for a moving violation. The official spoke with the driver, who stated he, along with his six passengers, were traveling from San Antonio to California, record state. The officer noted this is not a direct route and is used in an attempt to avoid Border Patrol checkpoints on Interstate 10 in Las Cruces, according to the arrest affidavit. When asked if the passengers were in the country legally, the driver stated he did not know. The passengers said they did not have visas or identification, record state. Border Patrol was called and determined they were not in the U.S. legally, then detained the six people and the driver. Americo Henriquez Diaz, 31, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of six counts of smuggling of persons and a miscellaneous Border Patrol hold. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $60,000 bond as of 12:45 p.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. San Angelo man, 19, dies after crash into Concho River. By Elena Edgen, published January 25th. A 19-year-old San Angelo man was pronounced dead early Tuesday after his car crashed into the Concho River, according to a San Angelo police news release. About 10:23 p.m., Monday, January 24th, police arrived to a motor vehicle accident in the 500 block of Veterans Memorial Drive. They found a red 2008 Dodge Avenger submerged in the river, according to the release. Officers on scene entered into the river in an attempt to rescue the driver, but were unable to reach the driver, the release said. The fire department arrived and helped move the driver, Peyton Morgan, and took him to Shannon Medical Center, where he was pronounced deceased early Tuesday. It was learned that this was a single-vehicle accident and that no other vehicle or persons were involved, the release stated. Chadburn Tavern to hold fundraiser for family devastated by house fire. By Paul Harris. San Angelo residents are stepping up to help a family that was devastated by a house fire last weekend. Jose and Brenda Mata lost their home, and Brenda lost her father, Miguel Mendoza, in a fire that destroyed their house in the 1000 block of San Antonio Street on Saturday, January 22nd. Fernando Fuentes said he has known Jose and Brenda since they were in elementary school together. Fuentes is holding a barbecue fundraiser for the family at his restaurant, Chadburn Tavern, 115 South Chadburn Street, at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 29th. The event will last until they run out of food, Fuentes said. Home Zone has donated furniture, people are helping cook, and individuals have contributed other items for a raffle. We had to throw this together really quick, but we're planning another one in March that will be more organized, Fuentes said. The Montes are currently staying at a hotel with assistance from the Red Cross. The family, which includes two children, lost everything in the fire, Fuentes said. However, they have received ample donations in terms of clothes and other basic household items. He hopes Saturday's fundraiser will help them begin to rebuild. For more information on the event and items to donate, contact Fuentes at 325-212-4935. Huddle House announces San Angelo opening date and location. Here's what to expect. By Elena Edgen, published January 25th. After months of waiting, Huddle House announced a location and opening date for San Angelo via social media. Huddle House, which started more than 50 years ago in Georgia, offers a variety of home-style meals from breakfast to dessert. They are most popular for their waffles. The San Angelo location, 3151 North Bryant Boulevard, will open Tuesday, February 1st. It will be one of 20 Texas locations out of 308 open across 22 states, according to the website. We're a neighborhood diner that makes every meal fresh, hot, and cooked to order whenever you want it, stated the Huddle House website. Wherever you've come from or wherever it is you're going, this is your house and your kitchen. For people wanting to get an early look at the menu, the restaurant does have an app with a reward program. Download the Huddle Rewards app on Google Play or the App Store. People can also keep up with the San Angelo location on Facebook. Taylor named Artist of the Year by San Angelo Art Club, from staff reports. Mary Taylor has been named the Artist of the Year for 2020 and 2021 by the San Angelo Art Club. Taylor began her art training with Roger Allen at San Angelo Central High School. She paints in acrylic and oil in a realistic and painterly style, often working from photographs she takes on her travels. Taylor is a three-time president of the San Angelo Art Club, a position she currently holds. The two previous years were combined into one award due to the COVID-19 pandemic, forcing the SAAC to lose several months of exhibition opportunities. During a normal year, SAAC members bring in artworks monthly to compete for the opportunity to display at four sites around San Angelo: Bank of San Angelo, First Financial Bank, Bank and Trust, and the City Hall Annex. Then one artist is chosen as Artist of the Year. The judge for this year's show was Dr. Devon Stewart, associate professor at Angelo State University. The next monthly meeting of the SAAC will be Monday, February 7th at 7 p.m. at the Kendall Art Gallery, 119 West 1st Street. San Angelo claims number one spot on list of top true Western towns, from staff reports. Published January 24th. San Angelo recently claimed the number one spot on a list of the top true Western towns in the U.S. by True West magazine. The selection is based on criteria demonstrating how each town has preserved its history through old buildings, museums, and other institutions, events, and promotions of historic resources. San Angelo beat out Prescott, Arizona for the number one spot, followed by Casper, Wyoming at number three, Tombstone, Arizona at number four, and Durango, Colorado at number five. Bandera was the only other Texas town on the list at number nine. The rest of the top ten included Deadwood, South Dakota at number six, Cheyenne, Wyoming at number seven, Dodge City, Kansas at number eight, and Virginia City, Nevada City, Montana at number 10. This is the fourth year in a row San Angelo was represented on the list. The city was number two last year and in 2019 and had the top spot in 2020. San Angelo being named as the number one true Western town supports our long history of and great beginnings of a frontier city, said Mayor Brenda Gunter. We will always support those long-standing traditions that allow us to stand out and support all things Western. Details revealed in triple kidnapping assault that ended with standoff in San Angelo by Elena Edgen, published January 24th. Court documents detailed the events leading up to a standoff in North San Angelo, which included death threats and kidnapping three women at gunpoint, according to court documents released Monday, January 24th. On November 9th, 2021, area law enforcement converged on an apartment complex on West 31st Street. After about an hour and intervention by a hostage negotiator, the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office arrested Dwayne Andre Evans Jr., also known as Tatum, 33. Evans was initially arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault on a date, family member, and had three charges of aggravated kidnapping with a deadly weapon added later. An indictment released Monday, January 24th, charged Evans with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and three counts of aggravated kidnapping with a deadly weapon. All charges have been enhanced. The kidnappings are punishable by 15 to 99 years in jail, and the assault could be punishable by 5 to 99 years. These charges have been enhanced due to Evans's prior conviction for aggravated robbery in Runnels County in 2007. Evans remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $75,000 bond. A court date has not been scheduled as of 11:15 a.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Details released in triple kidnapping started with couple's dispute. On November 9th, 2021, Evans and a woman he had a romantic relationship with had a dispute. Two more women arrived at their apartment on Tuig Avenue, and Evans would not let the women leave, holding them at gunpoint, records state. He forced the women to enter a vehicle while pointing the gun at his date's back. He then told one of the women to drive toward U.S. Highway 87, according to an arrest affidavit. During the drive, he told his date, "You're going to die today," records state. Evans and the date struggled for the gun, which fired and shot her. He took her to Shannon Medical Center, where she was treated for two gunshot wounds to her lower leg. She refused to name Evans, and he refused to meet with police when they called him, according to court documents. Around 1 p.m., investigators found Evans at an apartment complex on West 31st Street. Multiple law enforcement groups arrived, including SWAT, the Sheriff's Office, San Angelo Police Department, Texas Department of Public Safety, the Center for Tactical Medicine, and Tom Green County Constables. "We tried to make contact with him," said Sheriff Nick Hanna. "We knew that he was armed. We had some information that this was a public safety issue, so we set up a perimeter." Officials placed barricades around two blocks of Chadburn Street. A hostage negotiator convinced Evans to surrender around 2:15 p.m. "We're pleased that no one, including the suspect, was hurt and no shots were fired," Hanna said in a prior interview. Second arrest made in San Angelo burglary turned homicide. New details reveal plan. By Elena Edgen, published January 24th. 8 months after a 26-year-old man was fatally shot during an attempted burglary, phone records have led to a second arrest. David Alexander Rodriguez, 23, was arrested late Friday, January 21st, on suspicion of murder. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $1 million bond as of 10 p.m. Friday, according to online jail records. The murder charge stems from May 26, 2021, the same day Jacob Hernandez, 26, was fatally shot after an attempted burglary. Francisco Josiah Morales, 17, of Abilene, was the first arrest in the case on June 17th and is facing capital murder by other felony. On December 1st, 2021, police interviewed Morales in Taylor County Jail. He said he had been communicating with another man, who he refused to identify, from May 25th to 26th, about committing a lick, a criminal incident, according to court documents. Investigators spoke to two witnesses on June 22nd who stated they and Morales traveled to San Angelo. They arrived at a house where a man, later identified as Rodriguez, entered the vehicle and drove them to a location where Morales picked up a gun, records state. They then drove to Lily Street and entered the apartment where Morales said he fired the gun and left it in the area. Investigators obtained Facebook messages and phone data from Morales and the witnesses, which led them to Rodriguez. While messages had been deleted, phone records placed Rodriguez with the group at Lily Street around 3:20 a.m. May 26th. Video surveillance from the apartment also showed a dark-colored sedan enter the parking lot and two people wearing garments and face coverings to hide their identities enter the apartment, records state. About 3:24 a.m., May 26, 2021, police arrived at an apartment in the 2400 block of Lily Street to a reported shooting. An officer found a gun on the apartment steps and damage to the front door frame and lock, according to an arrest affidavit. Officers found Jacob Hernandez, 26, lying on his back on a bed with a fatal gunshot wound to the chest. How a necklace and backpack led to an Abilene teen's arrest. As investigators searched the area, they found an Adidas backpack and a locket, which held a photo of a woman. This led them to a relative of the woman, who stated her grandchildren received these pendants on May 8th. The pendant's owner told investigators he had exchanged property with another man, and the necklace ended up in the backpack. Later, investigators met with a Bront woman who said Francisco Josiah Morales, 17, of Abilene, shot out the window of her 2011 Hyundai Elantra sedan and took it without her consent on May 23rd. He was arrested in Concho County with an Adidas backpack and wearing clothes similar to those in the apartment video, records state. Another woman told officers she picked the teen up from jail on May 23rd and they went to Abilene. The teen left after their return. A search of the teen's Abilene residence revealed clothes matching those from the video. Investigators also discovered a cell phone the teen used was in the area of the May shooting. Morales was arrested in Abilene on June 17th on suspicion of murder in Tom Green County. In September, he was indicted on capital murder by other felony. The indictment listed Morales lived at an Abilene address and intentionally shot Hernandez to death while attempting to commit burglary of a habitation, according to the indictment. A capital murder charge is punishable by 5 to 99 years with a maximum penalty of death. A court date has not been scheduled in the case. San Angelo woman enters plea deal in 2020 shooting death of her husband. By Elena Edgen, published January 21st. Nearly 2 years after a man was fatally shot in the northeast San Angelo area, his wife pleaded guilty to her role in his death and prior assault. On Wednesday, January 19th, Clemens attended a plea hearing in the 119th District Court in connection to the 2020 shooting death of Antonio Fletcher, 53, her husband. She was originally charged with murder. Clemens, 39, pleaded guilty to second-degree manslaughter and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. In exchange for her pleas, state prosecutors recommended 12 years jail time for the manslaughter and 8 years for the assault. Judge Ben Woodward followed the state's recommendation and sentenced Clemens to those terms. Domestic dispute ends with shooter calling police. About 6 p.m. June 5th, 2020, police responded to a domestic dispute in the 1200 block of Daniel Street, part of the Paul Ann neighborhood in northeast San Angelo. A woman, later identified as Clemens, told dispatch there had been an incident and she shot her husband, records state. During her call, a neighbor reported gunfire in the area. Officers found Clemens standing over her husband, Antonio Fletcher, 53. He had a gunshot wound on his left cheek and was transported to Shannon Hospital in serious condition. He showed no signs of brain activity and was placed on a ventilator, but died the next day. Clemens's daughter told officers her mother had made numerous threats to kill Fletcher, her daughter, and herself, according to an arrest affidavit. The daughter also told police Clemens had been shooting the residents up for the past few days. Clemens, who bought a handgun in April 2020, told officers she shot Fletcher, though the affidavit did not list a reason. This was not the first time she had been arrested for a reported assault against Fletcher. On September 19, 2019, officers found Fletcher with gashes by his left eye and on his forehead in the same Daniel Street residence. Clemens left the area, but was soon found and told police she hit Fletcher with a gun, records state. Sanctuary City petition has enough signatures, paving way to outlaw abortion in San Angelo. City officials say there are more steps needed before issue can make it to the ballot. Here's what's next. By John Tufts, published January 21st. Abortion is one step closer to being outlawed in San Angelo by majority vote after anti-abortion advocates gained enough signatures in favor of making San Angelo a sanctuary city for the unborn. On Friday, January 21st, officials determined at least 1,512 people had signed their names to a petition wanting to outlaw abortion in San Angelo, according to Julia Antilli, city clerk. We determined there were sufficient signatures to bring the results of this petition to city council during their next meeting on February 1st, Antilli said during an interview with the Standard Times. But before voters have a chance to weigh in on the sanctuary city issue at the ballot box, Antilli said there were more steps the city had to take. Council members will first have to determine what day to have a public hearing, allowing San Angelo residents to voice their concerns. Prior to that public hearing, officials will run the 17-page draft ordinance in the Standard Times. Council will tell us what day they want a public hearing, Antilli said, adding that the upcoming special election to fill the vacant SMD5 chair might impact that decision. There could be a runoff election, and we don't know if they'll want to wait until there's a full council or not, Antilli said. While there are currently no abortion clinics in San Angelo, as of Friday, January 21st, a previous draft ordinance submitted to officials would outlaw abortion within city limits, declare abortion to be murder, and protect municipalities from abortion providers setting up shop within the city's jurisdiction, according to prior documents submitted to the city clerk's office. Gunter said, "Let the voters decide." In October 2021, San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter voted in favor of allowing the decision to be left to the voters and explained her rationale. "I strongly support taking this issue to the citizens because I believe that we do not have the right to take their voice or their vote away from them," Gunter stated during an earlier interview. Gunter said no city council members, at least to her knowledge, support abortion. For her, declaring San Angelo to be a sanctuary of anything was a slippery slope on other social issues. "Becoming a sanctuary city for the unborn means you start opening the door to becoming a sanctuary city for this and a sanctuary city for that," Gunter said. "The reality is that the ordinance had no enforcement behind it. None," she said. "It pits citizen against citizen." While city council may have delayed the fate of abortion in San Angelo, Gunter believes that when the time comes, anti-abortion advocates will get what they want. "I believe the sanctuary city issue will pass when taken to the public, but I think the public has a right to vote," Gunter said, noting she encouraged all citizens to vote in the next election, no matter if the odds appeared stacked against them. "Every vote counts," she said. How likely is the measure to pass in San Angelo? Previous elections in Tom Green County do not paint a favorable outcome for advocates of abortion, as the majority of registered voters are conservative Republicans. In the 2020 presidential election, there were 32,313 people, 71.47%, who voted for Donald Trump, while 12,239 people, 27.07%, cast their ballots for Joseph Biden, according to the Tom Green County Elections Office. Registered voters in Tom Green County also have weighed in about abortion in previous elections. During the March 2018 Republican primary, the following question was posed on the ballot as Proposition Number 7, I believe abortion should be abolished in Texas, vote yes or no. Out of the 6,948 registered Republican voters who cast ballots, an overwhelming majority, 5,017 people in Tom Green County, 72%, wanted abortion abolished. City officials said a vote on whether to make San Angelo a sanctuary for the unborn could happen in May 2022. What it took to get the sanctuary city measure on the ballot. The process of getting a measure to registered San Angelo voters on the May ballot took hundreds of signatures, petitions, forms, and time, city officials said. Residents had to follow Section 47 of the city charter, initiative and referendum. The charter gives the people the opportunity to review any ordinance or resolution that we already have on the books, said City Clerk Julia Antilli during an October 2021 interview with the Standard Times. Antilli said residents would need an initiating committee of five people and then sign petitions with not less than 25% of the number of voters who cast ballots in the last mayoral election. The number of people who voted in the last mayoral election was 6,048, Antilli said. That would be 1,512 signatures. Those seeking more information can read Section 47 of San Angelo's City Charter online at cosac.us/government/city-clerk/city-charter-code-of-ordinances. Here's a list of places to celebrate your love for Valentine's Day in San Angelo by Rosanna Frere, published January 21st. Ladies and gentlemen, that special day is quickly approaching. Don't get caught without a plan for Valentine's Day. Here's a list of events in San Angelo to celebrate your love this year. Most of them require reservations, so plan ahead to ensure your plans are in order come February 14th. Chef's Valentine's Dinner. The five-course dinner is from 5 to 10 p.m. February 14th at the Angry Cactus, 1 West Concho Avenue. Reservations are required. Call 325-703-6999. To make your reservation. 5 to 10 p.m., February 14th, Angry Cactus, 1 West Concho Avenue, $65 per person. Pure Heart Adoption Event. Cassie's Place is hosting a Valentine's-themed adoption event February 12th at Pure Heart Pet Boutique. Noon to 3 p.m., February 12th, 2613 Johnson Street. LGBTQ plus Be My Valentine Masquerade Ball. LGBTQ plus Valentine's Masquerade Ball is on Valentine's Day at 1619 South Chadburn Street. Bring your friends, partner, or just yourself. Must be 18 or older to enter. Purchase tickets online at Eventbrite. Cost $20 per person. Valentine Express. Hop on the Valentine Express with the Railway Museum in partnership with Bezos Events. This Valentine's experience can be either a date night or a daddy-daughter-mother-son date night. The packages include 45 minutes on the historic Santa Fe caboose, charcuterie board, miniature cake, and a bottle of champagne, sparkling cider for children. You can take home the charcuterie board and champagne glasses. You can add a gift basket for $40. Visit sanangelorailway.org to book your reservation. February 9th through the 16th, 703 South Chadron Street. Cost $250 per date. Prices vary with add-ons. Parents' Night Out. While you go out for a date night, this group will watch your kids. Team Chip Martial Arts is taking children 6 and older on Valentine's night. There will be food, socially distanced fun, games, movie, and a dance party. 6 to 10 p.m. February 18th at Team Chip Martial Arts, 3516 Knickerbocker Road. Cost $35, $20 for additional family members. Former Dallas Cowboys tight end Jay Novacek to make San Angelo appearance by Paul Harris, published January 25th. Former Dallas Cowboys tight end Jay Novacek is scheduled to appear at Lone Star Liquors in San Angelo, the store announced in a Facebook post. Novacek will meet fans and sign bottles of his new small batch craft whiskey, Novacek 84 Proof, from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, February 4th at Lone Star Liquors, 6510 U.S. Highway 67. Novacek was a three-time Super Bowl champion with the Cowboys during the 1990s. He earned five straight Pro Bowl trips from 1991 to 1995 before retiring in 1997 due to a back injury. While he's best known for football, Novacek was also an All-American track and field athlete at the University of Wyoming and even competed in the 1984 U.S. Olympic trials in the decathlon. Now here is our weekly column from Allison Watkins. Here's how to grow beautiful roses in your landscape. Published January 20th. Roses are one of the most popular flowers for landscapes and are a favorite for giving in-cut bouquets, but have a reputation for being difficult to grow. Many see rose bushes as being finicky, prone to fungal disease, and in need of extensive pruning and maintenance. While that may be true for some rose cultivars, there are many, many options to choose from, and some roses are very easy to care for. Two broad categories of easy-to-grow roses are antique and earth-kind types. Earth-kind roses are cultivars that have been through rigorous scientific testing to find those that are tough, needing little water or pruning, and no pesticides or fertilizer. Antique or old roses have been around for a long time because they are very hardy, and a bonus is that they are very fragrant. February is also a great time to focus on roses, not only because of Valentine's Day, but mid-February is a good time of year to plant new plants and to prune existing ones if needed. No matter what kind of rose you choose, plant in full sun and with good air circulating. This will go a long way to reducing fungal diseases on the leaves and will encourage good blooming. Don't plant too close to other plants or structures. Incorporate compost into the soil before planting and use good planting technique. Dig a hole that is wide but not too deep. Only plant the rose as deep as it had been growing in the nursery. Apply a 3 to 4 inch deep layer of wood mulch around the plant, but pull it away from the stem. Don't fertilize at planting. Earth-kind roses won't need fertilizer anyway, and it's a general rule of thumb to wait until plants have had time to establish before applying any fertilizer. Water the plant in well, and water as needed when there is no rain. Newly planted plants will always need to be watered more frequently than established plants, so keep a close eye on it and water every few days for the first few weeks. Then, how often to water depends on a lot of factors, such as soil type and weather. But train the rose to grow deep roots and be more drought tolerant by watering thoroughly, but not too frequently. Wait until the soil is dry before watering.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.